ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो वेलकम एवरीवन टू द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 54 टेक्स्ट नंबर 45 इज देयर ऑन द बोर्ड। देहाद्यंतवानेश द्रव्य प्राण गुणात्मकः आत्मनि अविद्यया क्लिप्तः संसारयति देहिनम्। देहाद्यंतवानेश द्रव्य प्राण गुणात्मकः आत्मनि अविद्यया क्लिप्ता संसारयति देहिनम्। देहाद्यंतवानेश द्रव्य प्राण गुणात्मकः आत्मनि अविद्यया क्लिप्ता संसारयति देहिनम्। प्राणगुणात्मकः क्लिप्तः माताजी देहे आद्यंतवानेश द्रव्य प्राण गुणात्मकः देहाद्यंतवानेश द्रव्य प्राण गुणात्मकः आत्मनि अविद्यया क्लिप्तः संसारयति देहिनम्।
विल सी द वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। देह द मटीरियल बॉडी, आदि बिगिनिंग, Anta and the end. One having. Eshah, this. Dravya of the physical elements. Prana, the senses. Guna and the primary modes of material nature. That is goodness, passion and ignorance. आत्मकः composed, आत्मनि on the self, अविद्यया by material ignorance, क्लिप्तः imposed, संसारयति causes to experience the cycle of birth and death, causes to experience the cycle of birth and death. Dehinam, an embodied being. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: this material body, which has a beginning and an end, is composed of the physical elements, the senses and the modes of nature. The body imposed on the self by material ignorance causes one to experience the cycle of birth and death. Purport: the material body, composed of various material qualities, elements and so on, attracts
and repels the conditioned soul and thus entangles him in material existence. Because of our attraction and repulsion for our own body and other bodies, we establish temporary relationships, dedicate ourselves to great endeavors and sacrifices, concoct imaginary religions, make noble speeches, and thoroughly involve ourselves in material illusion. As Shakespeare has said, all the world is a stage. Beyond the somewhat absurd theater of material existence is the real and meaningful world of Krishna consciousness, the liberated life of pure souls devoted in loving service to the Supreme Lord.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So in the beginning of the class I would like to beg forgiveness from all the devotees. There's such a nice kirtan going on. I was trying to participate myself, but as a service then this class has to interrupt that kirtan and then the class has to be spoken. Also I would like to take the blessings of all the assembled devotees who have come here for this class today. So here we see Lord Balaram is speaking to Rukmini Devi and Krishna as Krishna is trying to give some sufficient punishment to the offender Rukmi. He not only attacked Krishna, but he also spoke vulgar insults to him and he deserved punishment. And somehow we see here that Lord Balaram is so expert. He says the root cause of why there are miseries in our life is because he says there is this principle of attraction and repulsion. So now all of us, if we are asked this question, what is the root cause of all our problems? And we'll have to analyze. Because there are so many problems and where did they originate? But this is this wonderful ability of a acharya, of a guru. Lord Balaram is the Adi Guru. They have this ability to condense wisdom. So there's so much, and then out of that, they say, actually the root cause is this principle of attraction and repulsion. One time in the life of Srila Prabhupada, one university scholar, Dr. Hopkins, he came and met Srila Prabhupada. And he could see that Srila Prabhupada has written voluminous books. He's given hundreds and thousands of classes. He's given darshans. He has spoken to many prominent personalities, scientists, industrialists and so on. But he wanted something condensed. So he asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, out of all that you have given, and this is years after Prabhupada had established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he said, if somebody would ask you, can you tell me one or two shlokas which speak in essence all that you have given to us, what would that be? Now think about it. Just for a moment. 700 shlokas of the Gita, 18,000 shlokas of the Bhagavatam, something like 12,000 shlokas of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, other books, so many classes, explanations, analogies. Out of all that, in a moment, Srila Prabhupada said, that would be, and he quoted the shloka, 1.2.9. He says, dharmasya hi apavargasya, nartha arthaya upakalpate, narthasya dharmaikantasya, kamo labhaya hi smrita. So in this shloka it is mentioned that all the occupations that all of us have should be aimed at liberation, should be aimed at going back home, back to Godhead. In fact, our duties should never be used for enjoyment. So this Dr. Hopkins, he was surprised because probably he was not expecting such a quick reply, and that too in such a condensed form. So he again reconfirmed. He said, are you sure this is signifying all that you have given to us? So Prabhupada says, yes. Because the whole world is going on under the conception of I am the body. And as long as you are on this platform that I am the body, there is misidentification. Everything you do, everything you plan, everything you speak is on the wrong platform. Prabhupada would give an example. If somebody says 2 plus 2 is 5 and then goes ahead in mathematics. So 2 plus 2, arithmetic is very simple. But then no matter how complex it becomes later, finally 2 plus 2 is not 5. So everything else after that is wrong. So this, I was really surprised how Prabhupada could condense all that he has given in a single shloka in a moment. Similarly, Lord Balaram also, he is saying, actually the main problem which is causing all the different miseries from A to Z is actually this principle of attraction and repulsion. How did we come here to this material world from the happy spiritual world? Krishna mentions, Ichha Dvesha. So the start of our journey, the start of our fall down is two things, attraction and repulsion. Then we thought, okay, that is the end. No, this principle continues. It is there in our lives. All of us can vouch for it. In the days bygone, when you would go to purchase something, there would be a few choices. So let's say, you know, let's talk of, let's say toothpaste, something simple. So probably, you know, 20 years back, there were two brands of toothpaste. So what does it mean? One attraction and one repulsion. Because you choose one, so you say, I don't want this. Now, 20 brands. So what does it mean? From this philosophical perspective, what it means is, now there is one attraction and 19 repulsions. So has the situation increased for us? Has the situation become better for us? No, it has worsened. So, the more the variety, think about it, we are more getting into this principle of attraction and repulsion. Mayadev is kicking the living entity. You know, in a football match, there are two goals. So sometimes the living entity is kicked by Mayadev in the direction of attraction, sometimes the direction of repulsion. What to do? So, one person was sharing how, you know, everyone today has smartphones, and now they have come up with greater and greater number of the smileys. There are these faces. And previously there were one or two. Now they have something like 200 smileys, you know, just for you to express the right emotion when you are texting. Yes.
But then there is no documented incidence that after this increase in smileys, now people's communication has increased or now there are no more relationship issues. In fact, God forbid, you send a little bit wrong smiley, the relationship is ruined, yes? One time, one of my friends, his mother gifted him 2 sweaters. This is a cold season, so I remembered this. So this friend, you know, when he went to visit his mother the next time, he remembered, you know, my mother had given me these 2 sweaters, so I should wear one of them. She'll feel happy. So he put on 1 sweater and went to visit his mother. So the mother, you know, instead of becoming happy when she saw him, there was a frown on her face. And she said, "You didn't like the other one?" So, you know, you try to please somebody, you try to... attraction or repulsion, basically the action is the same. You know, you shout, and then if there is an echo, that echo comes back. So we feel there's another voice. No, it's not another voice, it's the same voice, yes? So, you know, we feel attraction and repulsion are 2 different things. No, it is the same principle. Attraction is when you're attracted to something positively, and repulsion is the same attraction, but in a negative form. Twin brothers of the same mother, Rajogun. Kamayesha, Krodhayesha, Rajoguna Samudbhava. So, we'll see from the scriptures if we can get some lessons to overcome this principle of attraction and repulsion in our own lives. These are 2 incidents from the life of Srila Sanatan Goswami, one of our acharyas. And Lord Chaitanya, in his own way, taught how to overcome these principles of attraction and repulsion to him. Now, through him, you know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching all of us also. So, Sanatan Goswami, when it was detected that he is wanting to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in that sense, because he was not being allowed to do so by the king, he was serving as the finance minister. So, Sanatan Goswami started, you know, he was absent from his duties, and he would hear to this Bhagavatam classes at his home, whole day, not just in the morning. So one day the king found out that this is happening, and he imprisoned him, became very angry on him, he imprisoned him. Sanatan Goswami somehow, using his intelligence, came out of the prison. And then there is an incident how he was going to be killed by hotel innkeeper. Somehow, so his goal is, he wants to reach Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is right now in Varanasi. So, Sanatan Goswami is on his way. It is described after all these things. He reaches a place called Hajipur. So when he reaches Hajipur, he is in a very miserly condition. His hair is long, he is unclean, he has a long beard, he has torn clothes. And somehow in this place of Hajipur, he meets his brother-in-law. His name is Srikant. So just like Sanatan Goswami was a finance minister of Nawab Hussain Shah, his brother Srikant is also under government service. But Srikant, you know, he has come to one market with 3 lakh gold coins on behalf of the king. So it means he was like a very rich minister. So when he sees Sanatan Goswami in this miserly condition, he thinks that he should do some help to Sanatan Goswami. So he says, "Why don't you shave up? I'll give you some new clothes." But Sanatan Goswami is on a mission. He wants to go as fast as possible to Varanasi and meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he says, "I don't have time for all this. Just help me get across the Ganga. I want to go there." So Srikant, out of his love for his brother-in-law, somehow, probably it was a cold season or something, but he gifts him a woolen blanket. And Sanatan Goswami accepts it, but without doing all the other physical cleanup, he goes on his way. He reaches Varanasi, he goes to the home of Chandrasekhar Acharya, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying in Varanasi. And instead of just barging in, he's sitting outside at the door. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inside, he tells Chandrasekhar Acharya, "Just see if some Vaishnav has come outside." Chandrasekhar comes outside and he sees, this is almost a beggar, with torn clothes, unclean. So Chandrasekhar goes inside and he says, "There's no Vaishnav outside, but there is a Muslim mendicant." So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Call him in." And Chandrasekhar Acharya is surprised, what's going on? Nevertheless, he goes outside and calls Sanatan Goswami, who looks very unclean inside. So as Sanatan Goswami is entering the courtyard, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not even stay in his position in the home. He also comes out and both embrace each other in the courtyard of Chandrasekhar Acharya's home. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Toma dekhi toma sparshi gai toma ragun sarvendriya phalaye shastra nirupan. He says, to see you, to embrace you, to speak about you as a devotee, this is the goal of all our senses. This is the fruit of having a good tongue. This is the fruit of having good eyes. This is the fruit of having a good body. What is that? To see the Vaishnavas, to embrace the Vaishnavas, to sing the glories of the Vaishnavas. And Chandrasekhar Acharya is a bit puzzled. He is not a Vaishnava. Lord Chaitanya is saying, this is the fruit of everything. But he keeps mum and he is just watching. Lord Chaitanya welcomes him, glorifies Sanatan Goswami and tells about his different activities. So Chandrasekhar Acharya understands there is a case of mistaken identity. It is his own fault. Then he instructs Sanatan Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs that better you get shaved up, get clean clothes. So this time, because he has reached his mission, Sanatan Goswami does that. And next day, they go to the home of Tapan Mishra for meeting him. So when they go to the home of Tapan Mishra, Tapan Mishra sees that he does not have much clean clothes. Now he is shaved and all that, but he does not have clean clothes. So Tapan Mishra offers him some fresh cloth. Sanatan Goswami says, I do not want that. I am just a simple sannyasi. I am just a simple saint. If you have a used cloth, you can give me. So Tapan Mishra is surprised, but in obedience to a sadhu, he gives him an old cloth. Sanatan Goswami immediately makes it into some kind of a dhoti and wears it. Chandrasekhar Acharya also offers new garments to Sanatan Goswami, seeing that he is a Vaishnava, and Lord Chaitanya said, this is the fruit of all our senses. But Sanatan Goswami says, no, I would prefer to be simple. The third day, there is one Maharashtrian Brahmin in Varanasi, who is a devotee. That is how it is mentioned. His name is not mentioned. So they go to his place for lunch. And this Maharashtrian Brahmin says, I am so blessed that somebody like you has come to my home. I would like to do this seva that every day for lunch, please come to my home, I'll feed you. So what does Sanatan Goswami say? He's rejected good clothes twice. And to this Maharashtrian Brahmin he says, how can I come for lunch at a fixed place? He says, I am a saintly person. Actually, I should do madhukari. I should go to different places begging, and whatever the Lord supplies, I am happy with that. I cannot come for lunch to your place. So these three reports, they go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not accept cloth twice, and he also did not accept a fixed source of prasad. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is glad. He is very happy that Sanatan Goswami retains his simplicity. But as all this is happening, there is one thing that is constantly attracting Lord Chaitanya's his vision. What is that? The blanket that was given to Sanatan Goswami by Shrikant in Hajipur. So Sanatan Goswami, because it's a gift from his brother-in-law, he always has that blanket on his shoulders. And Sanatan Goswami is trying to maintain his simplicity, but through it all, he can also see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always keeps staring at this blanket. He puts two and two together. He's intelligent. He goes to a bathing ghat on the river in Varanasi and sees some stranger washing some old quilt. So quilt is something like, you know, a thick chadar or something. He has washed that and he's drying it. So Sanatan Goswami, without saying anything, without confirming it, he understands. So he goes there and he wishes to exchange that old quilt with this new woolen blanket which actually has been gifted to him. So that person also doubts it. He says, are you making fun of me? He says, no, I'm serious. And he exchanges it. And when he comes back, that is the pinnacle of Lord Chaitanya's assurance to him that he has pleased him. Lord Chaitanya becomes very happy. And then he speaks. Till now, neither Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken, nor Sanatan Goswami has spoken regarding the blanket. But just the eyes spoke it all. So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I am very happy that you have given up this last trace of attachment. Yes, you did not accept even a proper dhoti, you did not even accept good food. But somewhere there was this blanket that was there. Now that you have given up, he says, very nice, just like a physician, when he treats a disease in a person, does not allow for the smallest trace of that disease to remain. Similarly, he said, Krishna slowly took away many things from you in order that you advance in devotional service. Now he has taken the last trace. And Sanatana Goswami, he is not feeling any remorse. He is not thinking, oh, you know, this was such a nice gift. Actually, I was not attached to it. He did not try to justify. In fact, he says, Gosai kahe ye khandila kuvishaya bhoga tara ichhaya gela mora shesha vishaya roga. He says, Krishna, that person who actually brought me here, he has also taken away that smallest trace of attachment. So he accepts this mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, you know, then Sanatana Goswami goes to Mathura, he receives instructions from Lord Chaitanya, then he goes to Mathura. And at one point of time, he is again coming back to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri. So on his way to Puri, he is alone, he passes to the Jharikhand forest. There, because he does not get proper food, he also comes in contact with some contaminated water. So he catches some kind of a skin disease. So all over his body, there are these small pus-filled sores. There are the small spots and there are pus in that. So already Sanatana Goswami has, you know, is the epitome of humility. Now, he was also thinking that since I have served a king who was against Vedic principles, who would engage in killing cows and all, he was already thinking that I am unfit to take darshan of the Lord, I am unfit to go inside any temple. He himself did not do it, but he was supporting the king, he was his minister, that's why he would think like that. Now he thought, with this contaminated body, pus oozing out of some of them, he said, I'm going to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I have heard that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays near the Jagannath temple. So, because he stays near the Jagannath temple, if I have to meet him, I'll have to go near the temple. Now, because of my past, I cannot enter the temple, but also one more thing is, many of the servants, many of the pujaris of Lord Jagannath, they move in that area. So if I'm walking on the street and by mistake, if some pujari touches me on his way to serve Lord Jagannath, that would be an offense. So in this way he thinks, because of my sinful background and because of my diseased condition, he says, actually, I am unfit to meet any of them. I will not take darshan of Lord Jagannath. Also, I will not meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he reaches Puri, he does not go to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Instead, he goes to the far away kutir of Srila Haridas Thakur. He is his friend. This news, there is no news. Nobody understands that Sanatana Goswami has come. One day in the morning, after Sanatana Goswami reaches Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has visited Jagannath temple for the morning aarti, upala bhoga, and then he comes to visit Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, he embraces him, and then Haridas Thakur points out, look, there is Sanatana Goswami also, but Sanatana Goswami is far away. Why? He thinks he is unfit to touch Lord Chaitanya's feet. He is unfit to be embraced by Lord Chaitanya, seeing his own condition. But Lord Chaitanya, when he sees Sanatana Goswami, he forces his embrace on Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami says, don't do this, I am sinful, just look at me. Actually, by these, you know, this dirty contaminated fluid that is coming out from my body, not only I am contaminated, but if you embrace me tightly like this, I'll end up contaminating you also. So Lord Chaitanya says, no, nothing like that. In fact, I am being beautified, he says. He had also glorified Sanatana Goswami previously in Varanasi. Now he says, actually sometimes devotees, they apply chandan to my body. So he says, the pus that is coming from your body is actually beautifying my body just like chandan beautifies my body. He is going beyond the physical level. He is trying to appreciate Sanatana Goswami's heart, his love for Krishna rather than his diseased condition. But Sanatana Goswami is thinking, this is not good for me. I should not do this. So he is constantly planning, very soon there will be the Rath Yatra, the annual Rath Yatra. Anyways, this body is not good for anything. I cannot take darshan of Lord Jagannath. If I stay like this, Lord Chaitanya keeps on embracing me. It's a pain to me to see him getting contaminated. So, he thinks the best thing to do with his body is, during the Rath Yatra, when the Rath cart is pulled, let me end my body below the Rath cart. So there will be a darshan of Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be there in the Rath Yatra, and dying below the Rath Yatra cart, there will be some benefit to me. So this is his plan. He's not revealed it to anybody. He's just contemplating this. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and out of the blue, there is no background to this. He says, Sanatan, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, he says, I would have committed suicide millions of times. So Haridas Thakur is there, Sanatan Goswami is there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. So Sanatan Goswami is caught unawares. He says, who told? I didn't tell my ears. I didn't tell my tongue. It was just there in the mind. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is just understanding the mood of Sanatan Goswami. He starts speaking. He says, you should know that Krishna cannot be attained by anything else other than bhakti, other than devotional service. And if you give up this body, how will you do devotional service? How will you do bhakti? So if you cannot attain Krishna by anything else, you are losing the very tool by which you will attain Krishna. Don't do this. This is false. This is not good. Then he says, acts such as suicide are actually in the mode of ignorance, tamogun. Under a wrong understanding, you are killing yourself. If somebody cannot give life, how can he take away life? Yes? So, he says, actually because this is influenced by the mode of ignorance, Krishna can never be attained by somebody who is under the mode of ignorance. You should be at least in the mode of goodness. Says, actually, not only it is in the mode of ignorance and you cannot attain Krishna because of this, he says, committing suicide is actually a sinful activity. You should not do this. And he says, sometimes it has been seen that some saintly people, in intense longing for Krishna because they do not meet Krishna, this thought comes to their mind. They are in deep separation. So great saintly people also think like that. But he says, when they think like that, in that intense separation, they meet Krishna. There is union in separation. We see in the Gopi Gita, when Krishna disappeared from that scene, then the gopis practically went crazy. They started singing songs about Krishna. They started enacting different activities of Krishna. One gopi became Kaliya, one gopi became Krishna, and she began chastising that gopi in the form, in the mood of Kaliya. So in that intense separation, actually when they started glorifying Krishna, when they started enacting his life, they felt that union, and then Krishna actually came. So Lord Chaitanya is giving that reference and is saying, in intense separation, sometimes a devotee feels that since I have no access to Krishna, I'll kill myself. But if that separation is really pure and if it is intense, Lord Krishna gives his audience to that devotee and then the devotee does not commit suicide. So I'm just, you know, thinking over this. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has understood that one devotee wants to commit suicide and he has full right to chastise him. He has full right to tell him, what nonsense, how could you even think of this, how dare you do this. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives logical reasons why Sanatan Goswami should not do that. So it is sinful, there is no other way to get Krishna other than bhakti, so don't give up this body. In fact, it is in the mode of ignorance. Some devotees do think of suicide, but when they think, because it is so pure, Krishna gives them his audience, so they do not commit suicide. So he gives different references. And Sanatan Goswami is just listening. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just does not speak about not doing the negative. He also speaks about doing the positive. He says, I know, you know what you should do? He gives him his advice. He says, Kubuddhi chhadiya kar shravana kirtan achirata pabeta be krishnera charan. He gives two things. He says, instead of focusing on all these physical conditions, wherever you are, do two things. Shravan and Kirtan. You listen to Krishna Katha, for that you do not need a fit body. And whatever you can speak about Krishna, speak about Krishna. He says, Achirat, very soon you will find Krishna in your life. Then he goes on speaking. He says, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always favorable to the humble and the meek. But aristocrats, learned scholars and the wealthy are always proud of their positions, and that's why they do not get Krishna. Then he says, of all the different ways to get Krishna, please practice kirtan. Please always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the easiest and the best process to get Krishna. And then, so he has prohibited him from doing something which is not to be done. He has given some positive alternatives. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very personal. And then he speaks something. What does he speak? He says, Prabhu kahe tomar deha mora nija dhan, tumi mora kariya che atma samarpan. He says, Sanatana Goswami, now beyond all these philosophical do's and don'ts, I want to remind you of something. You have accepted me as your spiritual master. So I am your master, you are my servant. Tumi mori koriya che atma samarpan. You already surrendered yourself to me. Now, how can you decide what to do with my property? So if a servant surrenders himself to a master, then everything that belongs to the servant now belongs to the master. So he is staking his claim on Sanatan. He is saying, how dare you decide to destroy something that belongs to me? He says, Tomara sharira mora pradhana sadhan, e sharire sadhimu ami bahu prayojan. Says, there are many, many things that I want to achieve through you. Because of my position, because of the vow that I have given to my mother told me, you should stay in Jagannath Puri. I cannot move out of Jagannath Puri to honor her vow. But I want to renovate Vrindavan. I want to establish Mathura, Vrindavan, so that many devotees in the future, they can come to Mathura, Vrindavan, they can experience the different places associated with Krishna. Who will do this? You have to do this. Tomara sharire sadhimu ami bahu prayojan. How dare you contradict my plans? So there are three levels. One is, he says, don't do this because it's wrong. Then he says, do this because it is philosophically correct. This is the right way to achieve Krishna. And beyond all of this, Lord Chaitanya becomes very personal and he says, forget all this. He says, this is my property. How you can do this? Usually, amongst spiritualists, this body is an object of ridicule. Many times while singing the prasadam prayers, we sing sharira avidya jal. We say, oh, this body, this is causing me to run away from Krishna. There are so many needs, there are so many attractions and repulsions for this body. How nice it will be if I give up my attachment to this body. But here, through Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya is teaching us a different lesson. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, Manasa deha geha jo kichu mor arpilu tuva pade nanda kishor. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying, Manasa, the mind, deha, body, and geha, geha means the home. That signifies our wealth, our possessions, our assets, property. So jo kichu mor, and etc. etc. Whatever else, arpilu tuva pade nanda kishor. This is all yours. So he is showing us the mood of a servant. What is the mood of a devotee? What is the mood of a servant? He does not keep something in his pocket and offers something else to Krishna. A real devotee offers everything, jo kichu mor, to Krishna. In our local language, in Hindi, we have heard these words. Tan man dhan. Yes, we should offer tan, man, dhan to the Master, to the Supreme Lord. If you see in the life of Mother Devahuti, she did that. In the third canto, it is explained how Mother Devahuti, she was a daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, and she was married to a very exalted devotee, but who was not financially very rich, Kardam Muni. So actually in Devahuti's life, we can see tan, man and dhan. It is described in the course of serving Kardam Muni, she actually became emaciated. Her hair became entangled. It is described, she, out of her sincerity to serve her husband, she, it is described that she was unclean and there was some dirt also on her body. But her only purpose during those years when she was serving her husband was, let my husband's sadhana, let my husband's duties towards Krishna not get interrupted, even if it means neglecting my body. In one shloka it is mentioned two qualities about Devahuti. It is mentioned Vishrambhena and Gauravena. So Vishrambhena means with intimacy and Gauravena means with respect. So usually when we become intimate with somebody, we lose respect. And sometimes when we respect somebody senior, the intimacy is lost. We run away from that person. But here it is mentioned how Devahuti, while serving her master, her husband, there was intimacy. She would serve him very intimately, but never losing respect for her master. Vishrambhena, Gauravena. It means she controlled her mind. When intimacy becomes loose, you lose respect for the person. Then you start taking that person cheaply. As it is said, familiarity breeds contempt. And sometimes when we respect somebody, you know, we maintain that safe distance so that we usually run away from that person. But Devahuti did this. So she has offered tan and she has also offered her man. What about dhan? She came from a very rich background. And Kardamuni would stay in a normal hut doing his sadhana. So actually, you know, she did not have enough facilities. But she accepted that position very happily. So we can see tan, man and dhan. Now in our lives, for a sadhaka, the lesson to learn is, when we hear of offering tan, man and dhan, we will see, out of these three, all of us have something in abundance and something in less quantity. So some of us may have a very strong body. Some of us may be very rich. And some of us may not be having a strong body. We may have a diseased body or we may be poor. But we have a very nice prayerful mind and we can come regularly and offer prayers. So the lesson to learn for all of us is usually what we do out of tan, man and dhan, we offer that which is the easiest for us. For instance, a rich person when he comes to the temple, it is very easy for him to offer a donation to Krishna. But if you ask him to do some normal seva, he'll find it difficult. Yes, because it's difficult. At his home, he has many servants. How can he do some physical seva here? If you ask him to pray to Krishna, he says, in my office, there are 100 people who pray to me every day to get a promotion. And here you ask me to pray. Not possible. But donation, yes, I can give. That's not an issue. Somebody who is physically strong, he can come and do some service. But then you ask him, please come and offer some prayers. Say, Prabhuji, ye sab sentimental cheeze mere se nahi hota hai. You give me some hard seva, you know, from morning to afternoon I will do seva. And somebody who does not have both, you tell him to offer some physical seva, he says, you know, difficult for me to offer physical seva. So good that yena kena prakarena, anyway we are connected to Krishna by money, by offering our prayers or offering our seva, physical seva, shramdan. But Krishna will be more pleased, not just by offering to Krishna what is easy for us, but offering to Krishna that which is difficult for us. So if somebody has a fit body and he does not have much money, so now every time he comes to the temple and he sees this hundi, he is thinking, should I not? Yes. But if smaller amount, maybe 10 rupees, maybe 100 rupees, which he puts there, is more valuable to Krishna than some lakhs of rupees by a millionaire. The percentage is much more. Somebody who earns 100 rupees, but he puts 10 rupees, he's giving 10% of his earnings to Krishna. And somebody who is a very big millionaire, you know, if he gives a big amount by monetary perspective, but it may not be appreciated by Krishna to the same extent. Depending on the circumstance, we'll have to evaluate ourselves. What is tan, man and dhan for us? So why did Sanatana Goswami want to quit his body? Here we could see in this narration that he had a disease. Sometimes it happens that somebody who has a terminal disease, somebody who has a diseased body, actually the pain of living becomes intolerable. It becomes so intolerable that the pain of death becomes tolerable. So a person thinks, better than living in this diseased body, let me die. Is it like that? No, Sanatana Goswami's reason is not like that. Sanatana Goswami's reason is two things he says. जगन्नाथे गेले तार दर्शन न पाईमु प्रभुर दर्शन सदा करीते नारीमु. He says, I cannot see Lord Jagannath, I cannot see Lord Chaitanya. That's why I want to end my life. So we should understand Sanatana Goswami's thought of ending his body was not motivated by selfishness. It was connected to Krishna. He was thinking, if I cannot serve Krishna, if I cannot see Krishna, what is the use? But there is one small glitch here. And that was detected by Lord Chaitanya, and that's why he corrected him. Lord Chaitanya said, this was his thought process. Yes, you have a diseased body. And because of the present condition, you will not be able to take darshan of Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the thing is, if you are such a nice devotee and if you have such a nice mood, can Lord Krishna help you? You do not have ability to transform yourself. You do not have ability to get cured of the disease. But does Lord Krishna, is he also powerless to cure you? It is described in the Bhagavatam how Lord Vishnu, when he wanted to kill Hiranyaksha, he came out of the nostril of Lord Brahma in such a small size, and then he grew to gigantic proportions and he fought with Hiranyaksha as Lord Varaha. There was a very merciless, cruel king called Vena, and he was so merciless that he had to be killed by the Brahmanas because he was doing great disservice. And the Brahmanas, they churned an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, King Prithu, out of the thighs of Lord Vena. So is Lord Krishna incapable of appearing out of a pillar? No, he can appear out of a pillar. If you say, oh no, this body is of a sinful person, King Vena, nothing good can come out of this body. No, Lord Vishnu came out of the dirty, contaminated, sinful, cruel body of King Vena, and he embodies the best king, King Prithu. Something that is considered dirty for us, the nostril, if we touch our nostril, we immediately wash our hands. But Lord Vishnu can appear out of the nostril of Lord Brahma and appear in his original form. In fact, Lord Varaha is the Adi Yajna. Anywhere any sacrifice is performed, Lord Varaha is worshipped. You know, that is the purest form. So, if Lord Krishna decides to cure you, if Lord Krishna decides to empower you, what is the harm? That Sanatana Goswami could not consider. And that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he corrected him and told him that you should give up your detachment to the body. He made Sanatana Goswami detach himself from the detachment to his body. So two incidents we saw. In one case, Sanatana Goswami was very attached to his blanket, and Sanatana Goswami was relieved of that fault. Now this is appreciated by ordinary people. Somebody who listens to a few classes, he can understand, attachment is not good. Attachment to a blanket is definitely not good. People can understand that. But when somebody is detached, you offer something good to a person and that person, no, I don't need this. Can detachment also be a deterrent in our spiritual life? Yes. This is the lesson that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving to us. Too much attachment is definitely bad. But too much detachment also is bad if it does not lead to increased service to the Lord. Detachment for detachment's sake is not good. Why? See, when I say, I like this, the original point that we are discussing, the principle of attraction and repulsion. When I say I like this, who's the main subject of this sentence? I. Similarly, when I say I do not like this, again, the main subject of the second line also is I. So basically, I am the decision maker. I decide what is good for me. I also decide what is not good for me. It means in one sense, I have not grown. As a devotee, I have not grown to understand from the scriptures what is good for me, what is not good for me. I have not grown to understand from the previous acharyas what is good for me, what is not good for me. And that's why this concept of taking a decision yourself based on your own intelligence is discouraged. For a serious sadhaka, it is discouraged. Our approach, I want to take a decision, I want to change. Think about it, whenever we want to change something in our lives, The approach is, there is some order in my life, there is some things happening in my life, and now I want to change it. Now let me ask you a question. What is it around you that is changing? Everything. The seasons are changing, day is changing into night, night is changing into day. People change. If you look at the mirror, you will understand you yourself change. So actually the appropriate question would be, not what is it in this world that changes? The question should be, what is it in this world that does not change? Everything changes. There is nothing that does not change. The concept that we get in the modern education is that you want happiness in your life, please change the situation outside. So if you are staying in some place, you are working in some place, you are in a relationship with somebody and it's not giving you happiness, the Vedic, the Western approach is, you change that person, you change that job, you change where you are staying. In this way, you know, you expect that change will lead to fruitful results for you. But this approach is negated in the Vedic way. The Vedic approach is, don't change the world outside, change the world inside. Adjust your perspective. When we read in the Gita, the fourth chapter is Jnana Yoga. So the first time when I was reading this Jnana Yoga chapter, I was thinking, oh, this is very nice. Krishna is telling me that whatever jnana I have, because loosely when we translate jnana, it is translated into knowledge. So I said, yes, I have knowledge. I have studied in a school, I have studied in a college, I have studied the newspapers, I have studied different books, some novels also. So now with all that jnana, I will now learn how to connect all that jnana to Krishna. But there is a difference between the knowledge of the Western approach and the jnana that is mentioned in the Vedic approach. The knowledge, if you see, is always about the world outside. The Western science, either physically or philosophically, goes deeper and deeper into matter. It never goes into the spirit. The direction itself is not in the direction of spirit. Whereas the jnana that Krishna gave to Arjun, the jnana that Krishna gave to Uddhav in the Bhagavatam, does not deal much with matter, it deals with the spiritual science. Krishna tells Arjun, change your perspective, change your lens, change your spectacles. You are seeing these people as your relatives, they are not your relatives, they are my relatives. I am God, they are my children. I want them to learn a lesson. So please do it. And then at the end of the Gita, using the lens, using the spectacles that Krishna gave to Arjun, Arjun put on that lens and said, yes, this is true. Adharma has to be taught a lesson, so let me do it. So nothing physical changed, the perspective changed. This is the difference between Western knowledge and Vedic jnana. In the Gita in 8.15, Krishna says, he uses two words together, and many times devotees discuss this. He uses two words together which are Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. So Dukkhalayam means this material world is the home of misery, and Ashashvatam means it is temporary. Now, one way to understand this is, there are two ways in which Krishna describes. So Krishna is saying this world is temporary, one point, one description, and he says this material world is the home of misery, unhappiness. This is another point. Now interestingly, in 9.33, Krishna again uses these two words, but he again uses them also in a combination. So one is, many times Krishna says the same thing, but this time he uses a combination again. He says, Anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Again he uses the two words, Anitya and Asukham. So Anitya is a synonym for Ashashvatam, and Asukham is a synonym for Dukkhalayam. So something to learn this, I was just thinking, why does Krishna use these two words again in a combination? So one perspective is, this world is temporary and this world is miserable. But another way to understand this is, because this world is temporary, this world is
miserable.
Do you get the difference? Because this world is temporary, this world is miserable. The lesson for us is, as long as we stay in the realm of impermanence, till the time we are attracted, then we deal with it, we come out of it, then we say, now too much attraction, now I should get repelled by it, then too much detachment. So you get detached from it. Attraction, repulsion. What is this? Ashashvatam. What is this? This is anityam. But till the time we stay in this realm of impermanence, what will happen to us? Dukkhalayam. Asukham. So that is why it's very important for us to go beyond this principle of attraction sometimes, repulsion sometimes, because this in one word can be described as change. And there is already so much change in this world. You know, there is something called as time-lapse photography. Time-lapse photography means you put a camera and every 5 minutes or something it clicks a photograph. And then after something like 1 year or something, all those photographs that have been taken at an interval of 5 minutes, you run it like a film. So you see things changing. If you keep it pointed to the sky, you see clouds going at a very fast speed. If you point it towards a plant, then you will see the plant growing at a very high speed. You'll see grow it like this. Come, grow, and then wither away. If you point this camera to a human child, you will see the child on its fours, then it stands up, then it's about to fall, and it starts running in a matter of 2 minutes. Yes? So think about it, your own life. If you could put a time-lapse photography camera and you could see your life, what would it be that stays constant? Nothing. Your complexion has changed. The way you talk, the way you speak has changed. Your priorities in life have changed. Everything about you has changed. So now when we say, I have a plan. I have a plan to introduce change in my life. What does it mean? It's like saying, there's already so much change. Something that is common about our life is change. And now I say, with my fine intelligence, the strategy for happiness in my life is, I want to introduce change. Think about it. There is a typhoon going around you. Life is changing. Financially, socially, everything is changing. And now because there is discomfort in your life, you say, I know the solution to this. How to come out of this discomfort? I will create another typhoon. Yes? And this typhoon and this typhoon, they will contradict each other. So all the change that is forced on me by life, and it is providing discomfort to me, I will negate it by my change. Yes? Now is this sensible? To negate one typhoon with another typhoon. There is a fan going on here and you are feeling cold in the winter season. And then the solution to this is, get another fan, put it below this fan and move it in the reverse direction. And then this fan, the air from this fan and the air from this fan, this will negate each other. What, you know, my change will negate the change that is enforced upon me. In this way my life will be comfortable. Does that make sense? In a typhoon, think about it, just think about it. There's a typhoon going on. What do you need? You need some shelter. One strong pole, which is rock steady, which does not move. If in that typhoon, when everyone is moving here and there and you're thinking what to do, how to come out of it, there's one tree, there is one pole, and you are assured this tree is strong in its roots. This pole, some structure there is strong. It is put in the ground strongly. If I catch this, that is the solution for a typhoon. Yes? So, I'm proposing this. In our life which is full of change, where change is compulsory, everything is changing, and the common solution outside is change. Introduce another change. Is it sensible? What we need is one strong, immovable shelter. What is that? One of the names of God is Achyuta. Achyuta means that person who never falls down from his position. So God is God always. He never becomes ungod. Krishna, the word Krishna means all attractive. It means he is all attractive to everyone, to the devotees and to the demons. The demons also choose Krishna to attack the most. There are so many blasphemies written about Krishna, more than anybody else. Yes? It means, you know, he's so amazing, even if I want to criticize somebody, he's done so many things that it would do justice to my proclivity, to my tendency. So, think about it, when there is so much change and change and change, and the Western approach is, study matter, introduce change, do this, do change. Yes? Actually, what we need is a shelter, a fixed shelter. Somebody who does not move. Somebody who is always there. That is Krishna, that is God. This is the shelter that all of us are looking for. This is the shelter that Vedic Gyan offers to us. The shelter that Western knowledge offers to us is coming in the category of small change, big change. Yes, and one change cannot negate another change. Actually, what we need is something permanent. And that is why Lord Balaram today is saying the main principle for misery in everyone's life is the principle of attraction and repulsion. If we can get over this principle of attraction and repulsion, come to something permanent. Chant Hare Krishna whether it is January or whether it is December. Whether it is the last day of the year or whether it is the new year. Whether we are in misery or whether we are in happiness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. In 9.18, Krishna, in order to signify this, that I am the real shelter, I'll speak that shloka. It's such a beautiful shloka. Four times Krishna is speaking that, you know, I am that person whom you are searching all over the world. I am that shelter that you are searching all over the world. He says, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Sharanam Sirit Prabhava Pralayasthanam Nidhanam Bijama Vyayam. Here he uses the word Gati. Gati means the goal. Krishna is saying, I am your goal actually. Then he says Nivasa. Nivasa means home. Yes? Shelter. The home is the place where we feel shelter. So Krishna says, I am the Nivasa. Then he says, I am the Sthanam. Sthanam means the shelter, the basis of everything. And then he says Nidhanam, the resting place of everything. So think about it. I was just really struck by this shloka. That here we are in the middle of an ever-changing world. And our strategy for coming or negating the problems in our life is introducing more and more changes. Whereas Krishna in the Gita is saying, change is not the solution to change. Permanence is the solution to change. And he says in four words in the same shloka, he's reiterating that fact, I am that permanent shelter that you're all looking for. So we are so fortunate that we have come to this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where knowingly or unknowingly, Krishna has been given to you. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada and all his followers who have dragged us, attracted us, and now, you know, here we are sitting at the shelter of Shri Radha Gopinath. So today, on the 1st of January, when the whole world is thinking about a big change, yes, they are going to change their calendars, they're going to make a to-do list. We should also go for a change. We should go for the final change. Let us go for the last change in our lives. What is that? Now let me make Krishna the center of my life. Let me perform the pradakshina of a temple around Krishna. That's doable. But let me also put Krishna in the center of my life. Let my life become a pradakshina around Krishna. This is the change that we all need in our lives. So when everyone is going for a change, let us also go for a change. But this will be the final change. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. So it's over time. Thank you very much for